This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala hama ba'd. So we finished reciting Surah An-Nur, and in Surah An-Nur, there is the famous Ayat An-Nur, or the verse of Nur. And Ayat An-Nur, which is verse number 35 of Surah An-Nur, has the distinct honor of being the most oft commented verse in the entire Quran. In other words, there has been no other verse upon which more commentary has been written, more tafasir, more pages, more ink on paper, more separate treatises. There have been entire volumes and treatises about tafsir, Ayat An-Nur. And there is no other verse in the entire Quran that has the amount of commentary than verse number 35 from Surah An-Nur. And so in today's short khatira, I'm going to have to squeeze in one interpretation out of hundreds, if not thousands, because Ayat An-Nur is something that we all read, the imams recite it all the time, and there is too much to say for one short khatira, but at least to give you one tafsir. And please, the disclaimer, this is just one interpretation. The fact of the matter, this verse has so much commentary, so much interpretation, also different theological groups interpret it in different manners. So the mystical groups, they really go, mashallah, hardcore in this verse, and they have all of their rather interesting, sometimes even bizarre tafsirs of this verse. And then you have the other types of theological groups. So what I will give you is one standard interpretation of mainstream orthodox, if you like, Sunni Islam. And this is one interpretation. I'm not saying it's the only one. It is not the only one. There are many other interpretations. So what is this verse? Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah is the light of the heavens and earth. What does it mean, Allah is the light of the heavens and earth? A number of interpretations. First and foremost, Nur here, according to Ibn Abbas, symbolizes Hidayah. Hidayah. So Allah is the guide in the heavens and the earth. And this is very common because the whole Quran has the motif of light being guidance and darkness being misguidance. Right? And Allah mentions this so many times. يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. So this is a very common, and in fact in the beginning of Surah Ibrahim, Allah says, we have revealed this book to you so that you may take mankind out of darkness into light. And so the Quran has been called Nur. وَأَنْزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ نُورًا مُبِينًا. And in one verse, even the Prophet ﷺ has been called Nur. And some interpretations take this misunderstanding that he himself is actual Nur. No, he is Nur, mean he's the guidance. He is the one who guides. And Allah calls him Nur. And Allah calls the Quran Nur. So Allah is the source of guidance. And Allah guides. This is the first interpretation. The second interpretation, that Allah is the source of actual light. Allahu munawwiru samawati wal ard. Allah is the source of all light. And this too is valid because Allah has created the sun and the stars and the moon and and all of the celestial objects. And Allah mentions this of His signs. And the third interpretation is that we take it at face value, and Allah Himself of His names is Nuru Samawati wal Ard. So Allah is Nuru Samawati wal Ard. And when it comes to Allah's names and attributes, we do not think too deeply. We believe and we don't let our minds think because we cannot understand how. When Allah says He does something, we say, we believe, we hear and we believe. We sami'na wa ata'na. When Allah says He does something, we don't think, how does He do it? Allah says He hears. It is haram to ask, how does He hear? What does hearing? We know what hearing means. We know what hearing means. When Allah says He hears, we understand. But we don't know how the hearing occurs. The same goes over here. Allah is the nur of the heavens and earth. How? Our minds go blank and we're not supposed to think. And this as well is proven in the hadith in Sahih Muslim that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah's hijab itself is nur. Hijabuhu nur. Allah's hijab in nur is nur. Hijabuhu nur. Meaning Allah has a veil around Him. And that veil is itself nur. لو كشفه. If He were to lift the veil of hijab of nur, لَأَحْرَقَتْ سُبُحَاتُ وَجْهِهِ مَنْتَهَا إِلَيْهِ بَصَرُهُ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ. The rays, subuhat is the rays. We call subuhat in Arabic, what even comes from the sun, we will say subuhat. The rays that come from His face would destroy all that His eyes can see. So in this hadith, which is in Sahih Muslim, we learn that Allah has taken a hijab of nur.
And if that hijab of nur were to be lifted, then nothing could withstand the beauty and the majesty of Allah. And of course, this is proven in the story of Musa, when he says, let me see you. And Allah says, you cannot see me. It's not possible to see me. And Allah showed himself to the mountain, and you know what happened to the mountain. So Allah is demonstrating, in this world we cannot see Him. But this hadith demonstrates Allah Himself is nur in a way that we don't understand. And as well, when the Prophet ﷺ went up to Isra wal Mi'raj, and he went higher than even Jibreel, as the books of Sirah tell us, and he was in the Divine Presence, Abu Dharr al-Ghifari asked him that question that all of us want to ask. Ya Rasulullah, hal ra'aita rabbak? O Messenger of Allah, did you see your Lord? Did you see Allah when you went up to Isra al-Mi'raj? And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Noor anna arah. There was light, how could I see Him? Meaning our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the presence of the veil of Allah. Noor anna arah. There was light, how could I see Him? So this demonstrates that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the hijab. And nobody can go beyond that. In this world, nobody can see beyond that. Of course, in the Akhirah, it is one of the blessings of the people of Jannah. May Allah make us amongst them. So this is Allahu Nur as-samawati wal-ard. مَثَلُ نُورِهِ كَمِشْكَاتٍ فِيهَا مِصْبَاحٍ. Now begins the analogy. And I have to be very brief because I'm only going to give you one interpretation. As I said, there's many more. The example of His light, Ibn Abbas said, the example of His light here is His iman that He puts in the heart of the believer. Iman fi qalb al-mu'min. So according to this interpretation, and again there are many others, the whole ayatul nur is about the qalb of the mu'min, and the iman that is placed in the qalb of the mu'min. This is the parable according to one interpretation, and this is Ibn Abbas's interpretation. So the example of hidayah, of the iman, of the qalb of the mu'min is كَمِشْكَاتٍ فِيهَا مِصْبَاحٍ. It's like a mishkat. Mishkat is a crevice inside of a wall. If there is a crevice inside, this is mishkat. فِيهَا مِصْبَاحٍ. Inside, so you know in the old times, they would carve things into the wall so that they could place the light there, so that if the wind blows, it would not affect the light. So this is the mishkat. Inside the mishkat, there is a misbah. Misbah is a lantern, or a light, or a lamp. Al-misbahu fi zujaja. The lantern is inside of a glass. Now briefly, what are these three things? According to, again, one interpretation, the mishkat is the chest of the believer. And the zujaja, the glass, is the heart. And the light is the iman that Allah places in the heart of the chest of the believer. Okay? And this is a beautiful analogy because the heart is compared to what? Glass. And what is glass? And what types of glass are there? And what is the variety of glass? Some glass is see-through, transparent. This is the qalb of the believer. He is as he is heart. Some glass is murky and dark, you cannot see. This is the qalb of the munafiq. He presents other than what is inside of himself. Some glass is soft and fragile. This is the qalb of the soft mu'min, a layyin. Some glass is hard as a rock. And this is the qalb of those who, they don't have that type of sympathy and whatnot. And people are of all types. You have the soft-hearted, you have the transparent, you have the hard-hearted, you have the translucent. All of these types of glass, they symbolize what is the heart of the believer. And inside the heart is the lamp. And this lamp, this lamp or the lantern, automatically the heart of the believer is attracted to Allah and wants to worship Allah. Even before it hears of the Qur'an and the Sunnah. And the example of this is our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before the Qur'an was revealed. There was something in his heart about belief in Allah, about wanting to worship Allah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the zujaja itself, the heart itself, كَأَنَّهَا كَوْكَبٌ durri. It's like a brilliant star. So the heart of the believer is already alight, it's pure. It's already there. It wants to demonstrate its light. So this is the heart of the believer. يُوْقَدُ مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ. This lantern in the middle, it is going to be fed from an oil that is sacred and holy from a blessed tree. شَجَرَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ. زَيْتُونَ. An olive tree. لَا شَرْقِيَّ وَلَا غَرْبِيَّ. It's neither eastern nor western. Again, one symbolism, there's so much more. One interpretation, this is Allah's wahi and Qur'an. It's neither from the east nor from the west, it's from the heavens. And it is coming straight down. It is a divine light. It is a light that is so pure. يَكَادُ زَيْتُهَا يُضِيءُ وَلَوْ لَمْ تَمْسَسْهُ نَارٌ. The Qur'an itself is so pure and powerful, even if no match touches it, it is already a light. So the oil of the blessed Zaytun tree is already a glow, a buzz. You don't even need to put a match on it. And so this is the example of the Qur'an. And the heart of the believer already is waiting for that light. And the Qur'an will come and add to that light. And so Allah says, نُورٌ عَلَى نُورٌ. There is light upon light. The light in the pure heart and the light of the Qur'an. So when the pure heart hears the Qur'an, what do you get? نُورٌ عَلَى نُورٌ. So the heart is pure and the Qur'an is pure. And the two of them will meet and you will get the heart of the believer. And subhanAllah, this is the reality that the people who convert to our faith, they are the best of the Muslims. And they are always the most sincere. And they're always the purest even before converting to Islam. Because they had the nur of the qalb even before they heard of the nur of Islam. So when the nur of their qalb meets the nur of Islam, what do you get? نُورٌ عَلَى نُورٍ يَهْدِي اللَّهُ لِنُورِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah guides to His light whomever He wills. وَيَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالَ لِلنَّاسِ. And Allah gives parables to mankind. And indeed Allah is aware of everything. And by the way, as I said, there are many other interpretations. Another very beautiful interpretation, which I don't have time to go into. The whole example is that of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is the one that is being made an example of in this whole parable. And there's nothing wrong with having multiple interpretations. And in the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But what I have presented is pretty much the most standard and orthodox interpretation. And this is the one that most of the ulama of tafsir agree to as being legitimate and valid. This does not negate there might be other interpretations as well. That's the beauty of the Qur'an. There are multiple interpretations. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who have that pure nur and who hear and see the nur of Allah azza wa jal. And therefore we have nurun ala nur. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.